little different morning training for when I'm gone. Good morning. That I get a vacation. Yeah, good morning. All right. So we've been in Colossians, and we talked about grace a bit because Paul started with grace and peace from God the Father. And so I thought we'd spend a few minutes this morning talking about, we got more time than normal, maybe more than a few minutes talking about peace this morning. I spent the last week trying to look into peace and see what there is scripturally and see how I want to communicate it. And while the word peace is very straightforward, there are some things about peace that can get a little bit complicated, and sometimes it's hard to find peace. So Jesus, brought us peace, and peace is talked about in different ways. Let's start in Romans chapter 15, verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. It's not much there, but I thought I'd point out, and there's a couple more, that one of the things that God is referred to is the God of peace. So peace is somewhat important. Let's see, Isaiah, and some of you have this memorized, you might not even need to go there. Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And we also see in Hebrews, Jesus talked about as being a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is King of Salem, which means Prince of Peace. Or King of Priests, peace. So God associates himself personally with peace in a very strong way. Ephesians 6:15, which should be in our memories fairly well. Dan just went through Ephesians with us. In the armor of God. In verse 15, it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Even the gospel is referred to as the gospel of peace. Jesus came to bring peace to us. Not to everyone, but to us. It is an important theme in Scripture. So the question is, what is peace? And sometimes it's referred to as rest. But I find that peace is almost more easy to talk about when you talk about it in opposition to war. Right? If you're sitting somewhere, you're not thinking, oh, I have peace. You're just enjoying the moment or you're bored. But if you sit somewhere after you just fought a war, you are at peace. Right? So peace is almost in contrast of a life that is not peaceful. I do a lot of studying in psychology, not for the sake of psychology, but for the sake of leadership and for my job. And I've gotten a little bit into the concepts of different drugs that our body produces so that we experience life. Turns out, If your body didn't produce some of these drugs, you wouldn't do anything. You would just die. You would have no motivation. It's chemicals in our system that drive us to do things. The most common one that everybody knows is dopamine. Dopamine is the reward system. So you think, oh, I think I'm going to get up and do this thing. And you get a rush of dopamine, which helps you do it. And then when you do it, it's like, good job, here's some more dopamine. And that's good. Without it, you wouldn't do much. Again, we do struggle in the U.S., well, across the planet right now, our children, if you've given them a phone to play with at a young age, I guarantee they're a dopamine addict, which is bad. They can no longer function and do things in life often the way, say, some of us older folks grew up being able to do things because we got our dopamine from doing something productive. Well, your child gets that from opening his phone and checking if anybody liked his pic that he posted. And it's the same reward, whether or not you dug a hole, a ditch, built a building, or checked your Facebook. And that's the downside of dopamine. So that's the reward program. But a slightly lesser known one, but most of you guys would know it, is serotonin. Now, serotonin is the happiness drug. It's the thing that makes you feel good and satisfied and, dare I say, peaceful. It is just makes you feel good, but you don't receive it just by doing a quick something or another like you would dopamine. Dopamine is more in contrast of hard work. If you work out really hard or you do a very physically difficult job, you will have serotonin for up to 3 days. So it's a very good thing to have. And it makes you feel at peace, makes you feel like the world is right. So more like in contrast to war and peace, working hard and serotonin. There's one other thing that, and this is kind of fun, one other thing, well, there's a bunch of things that will give you serotonin, but one major one that I discovered recently is light. Not these lights, but light as from the sun or sitting next to a fire. And I find that to have a correlation with peace as well, you can experience peace either from struggle, after war, after striving, or by basking in the light of the Father. It's cute. I kind of figured that'll preach. So peace is easier seen in contrast to struggles. But only if that struggle is won. Now, man has been at war since the beginning of time, since Adam first sinned. We've been struggling with this divide between us and God. And if you go, I don't know, I like watching stories about missionaries every once in a while. And the stories usually kind of go like this. The missionary goes overseas to some tribe. They seem to live an interesting life. They get immersed into it. And as they're there for a while, they start discovering weird things that these people do. And usually these weird things have something to do with appeasing some god. That if they don't keep that god appeased, he's going to ruin their crops next year. He's going to make their life very uncomfortable. And so mankind just innately knows that there are powers greater than them, and those powers don't always give them what they want, and so they have to do something. And in a way, I'd like to say, like, oh, Christianity is so different, our God is so different, but the Jews had the same issue. Maybe not exactly the same, but the Jew God before Jesus needed some kind of action. The Jews had to appease God through blood sacrifices to cover up their sins. God wanted them to know that their sins are wrong and that they stand between them and Him, because God is a righteous God. And so man is separated from God. Romans, let's jump into Romans 3, starting in verse 10. And this is a quote from the Old Testament. I forgot to look up where. I'm sorry. Several places. Yeah. All right. There is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There's none who does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So this is the state of man, naturally. Well, since Adam anyways. And so there is a giant gulf between us and God naturally. There is a war. We are enemies of God. And so it is no wonder that Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. That the gospel he brings is the gospel of peace. Sticking in Romans, we'll do a couple in Romans. I call this the Roman Peace Road. No, I don't know. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And then jumping to chapter 8. Starting at verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So it's not just that we have a tendency to sin. We're not even able to please God in our flesh. It's impossible. Let's backtrack to chapter 6, verse 23. And here we start seeing a little light. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And chapter 5, I know I'm going backwards. It's not a proper Roman road, so. It's more of a Roman zigzag. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus brought us peace. He gulfed that divide. So at this point, I wanted to talk about something, and I was a little hesitant because some of you guys know me from way back in the day, and, you know, certain things you got to be careful about talking about. and why I'm bringing this up will become more clear afterwards. So bear with me for a minute. When I was younger and a teenager, I dated a young lady in here. And a lot of you guys know her. And in my usefulness, living life. You know, most of us accept a certain amount of things in our life, especially when we're young. It's not that bad. You know, people around me are doing this. I was dating this young lady, and I was living my little muddy life. I'm not saying that now I live a pure life, not going there. Just saying at the time I was definitely having some struggles and doing some things I ought not to. And I thought it was a small thing. And I told her about the small thing, and she misunderstood it. I didn't know she misunderstood until a few years ago when I had seen her again and had a conversation with her. But I told her about this thing, and she misunderstood it and thought it was even bigger than it was. And it eventually caused her to separate from me. And as a result of those things, she ended up in a string of relationships which basically brought death to her life. And I did not know that. I did not know that I played any fault in this whatsoever. Jesus said, if you've lusted in your heart over a woman, you've committed adultery. If you've hated your brother, you've committed murder. That started coming to life in my mind. I spent a lot of time thinking about this over the last few years, and I mean, this might seem silly to you, but say you're in a hurry to work, you're running late to work, getting to work is important right now, or whatever circumstance is going on in your life, and you're driving down the road, and you see an opportunity to get ahead of somebody, and you get ahead of them. In the car, it's not a big deal. Maybe it wasn't nice, but it wasn't that bad, right? You don't know that that person wasn't going through hell right then. Nobody in their life cares. And you were the last one to come across her, and you cut her off. Just one more piece of proof that nobody cares. Nobody's considerate of you. You don't know. You don't know what she's going through or he's going through. That was the straw that caused them to go hide and do themselves harm in a closet that night. Jesus didn't make a distinction between big sins and small sins. We wouldn't either if we saw the consequences of our sin. And I did not want to come here this morning with this bummer, right? But the reason I bring it up is as a warning, one of the issues with peace, one of the things that steals peace. I've had a couple friendships over the last few years, over the last, I don't know, decade or so. I've had two young gentlemen that I've been friends with that knew the Lord, that you might say loved the Lord, respected him, accepted him as God, would find every opportunity to talk about the Lord. But once you got to know them deeper and intimately, I found that they had a struggle, one of them to the point of actually having powerful demonic activity in his life, because from his perspective, yes, Jesus forgives all people, but his sin was greater than the normal person's.
His perspective.
And it is nice to live a life where we're free from the burden of some of the things that happen around us, maybe even that we've caused. We live in the forgiveness of Christ, and so maybe to some extent that's okay that we can walk forward that way. But to the one who does not have the luxury of that, that becomes a burden because we compare ourselves to one another. Even though we know that we ought not to, even though that we know the comparison is to Jesus, we can't help it. We walk around and we go, oh, that sin is really bad. And we need judgment. I'm not saying we don't need judgment. There are certain crimes that if you committed those, you ought not to be hanging out with my children. And I think we're all in agreement with that. But from God's perspective, He knows what happens when we have less respect for someone around us for whom Christ died. He knows what's going to happen. You guys know the butterfly effect, I think it's called. It's probably a bunch of you have heard of it. The idea is that if a butterfly flaps its wings, and I don't remember how it's said exactly, but a butterfly flaps its wings in your backyard and it sets up a chain of events that causes a hurricane in China or something, right? Everything you do has a reaction which then causes other things to happen. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that when a young girl walks by you and you don't see that Jesus loves her, instead you see her body, that that's going to influence how she sees herself and how she lives the rest of her life. Jesus knows that when your brother is in need and you're not there for him, that that will affect the rest of his life, and in which way that will affect the rest of his life, and whether or not he lives in anger and he commits murder. What part did you have in that? We don't know. So, though, and Jesus knows all of this. The Father knows all of this. And despite the fact that he knows all of this, despite the fact that he knows that we're all in here, we're all murderers, he knows that. And despite all of that, he loved us enough to give his son. And he also gave his son for those of us who know our sins. And he wants you to be at peace. And there's something really difficult about accepting that. And so these friends of mine, they struggled with that. I think one of them has gotten over it. Another friend of mine that I heard about recently, he's probably still struggling with that. And I hope he finds that peace that comes by what Jesus did. He paid for that sin, no matter what that sin is. Even if it's a sin that you think is unforgivable. That guy that you think is unforgivable, Jesus died for him and gives him peace, or allows for him to take peace. And so if Colossians, the book that we're in, I think it's in chapter 3, says, let the peace of God richly dwell within you. So I ask you, I didn't come and bring this bummer to be hard on anybody or to like make you think of the things that you did in your life. I brought it up because I want to make sure that every single person understands that no matter what happened in their life, Jesus wants to give you peace. So the question is, are you willing to accept the fact that no matter the depravity of what your life has caused around you, that Jesus wants peace with you? That's why I brought up those stories, because I want everyone to understand that God wants to have peace with you. There's none of us here that are more righteous than you from a fleshly perspective. None. Let's see. So all sin is extreme before God, and he forgives all sins. I think I'm going to kind of wrap it up. Rather than try to fill it up for the point of filling it up. So Jesus brought us peace, and he wants peace with you. Oh, there is one other point that I do have to bring out. Jesus, I'm not going to try and find my verse in these notes right now. Jesus wants us to bring peace to the world around us as well. We have received that peace, and it is our responsibility as the family of God to act accordingly and bring peace to others. Jesus gulfed that divide between us and himself, between the sinner and the righteous. And he expects us to extend that out to those around us. So remember that when somebody has sinned against you, when someone hasn't been there for you and ought to have been there for you, reach out to those, even if they haven't sinned against you, reach out to those around you and bring peace to their life. It's not all, it's the gospel of peace that Jesus brought, but it is the gospel of peace that Paul taught and that we are to be showing to those people around us as well. And this is good news. I know it feels kind of like a hard message this morning, at least to me, but this is good news. Bring that good news to the people around you. They need that news. They need to know that Jesus is on their side and that you are on their side as an extension of Jesus. All right, we'll pray, and then if you have any questions, we'll go there. Lord God, this morning I ask, well, one, I thank you because you gave me peace through doing this, and I thank you that you did divide that gulf between you and us, and that we have peace with you. Lord, I ask that that peace would pervade this morning in our midst, Lord, that we would be there for one another, that we would hear from you, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, any questions and things? Yes, ma'am.
I was thinking another contrast with peace is anxiety and striving. And in Philippians, it talks about the peace that passes understanding. And sometimes it's that war in our head. It's that wanting to know why and make sense of something that happened, a tragedy or somebody dies or things don't work out and you pray about it and it didn't work out and whatever. But that peace that goes beyond our ability to reason and make sense of it because we know that God's got it and that we belong to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. That's like the peace that you get from basking in the presence of God, right? His light. And I didn't talk much about that. I kind of regret that now that you bring that up. I'm like, yeah, I should have talked more about that. So thank you. Okay. Have a cookie. Thank you.
That was good.